I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Live from what's left of the Tribune Tower at 6:12 on a frigid morning. It's comforting to walk in and have two guys in a truck flying past you with pieces of the building. Hey, it's amazing what they're taking out of this building. There's stuff I didn't even know was here. Walls. They're removing walls. What do they need the walls for?
I don't know, but they had like a pane of glass the other day that had one of the, it didn't say WGN. It was one of the editorial board doors with the lithogram on it. It was really neat.
We're being kicked out.
I know.
For people not aware, we're being kicked out of the building. And we're moving to a new location, which is not secret. It's East Wacker. Beautiful building. Well, beautiful facility. And a nice building.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Oddly looking forward to it. It'll be sad to leave here. But having said that, It'll be, I just feel like we're being thrown out of the building. That's all.
Yeah.
You walk in every day and there's a little less here.
Mm-hmm. I just hope we're not thrown out of the parking lot before we have to move.
What?
That's a little scary.
I'm hearing things.
Me too.
What?
I'm hearing things.
Are you going to have to pick me up on the way in, Steve?
I think we'll just leave the cars parked on Michigan Avenue with the four-ways on.
I think that'd be cool if we all carpooled in the morning. That'd be great.
And we videoed it?
Yeah.
We put it online because everything has to go online by law.
We could sing songs and stuff.
That'd be swell. Hi, everybody. Have a nice weekend.
Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. Got a couple of dinners in, birthday party. Yeah, it was fun.
You know, the Super Bowl was great.
Thank you.
I thought it was great.
Having a discussion before you came in.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't like it?
I just thought it was... I didn't care. I didn't have a horse in the race. I didn't care
about
either team.
But it was a great game.
It was okay.
What are you talking about?
I did a lot of flipping channels.
It was a great game.
Steve, I've tried already.
It was okay. The ending was cool.
Hold on a second.
And
stop,
it moved
stop,
along.
Stop. How was that not one of the best Super Bowls ever?
I just didn't
You didn't
care.
Have to care, but you could not care about the team, but you can't deny that it was a great football game.
Yeah, it was good.
You're so wrong.
It was good. I thought
you've never been more wrong.
Now
about
I'm going to step away when I say this to you, okay? Because I like Justin Timberlake. Could not have been more boring.
No. Well, what were you in a bad mood about?
No, I wasn't. The Prince
Clearly
tribute
you were.
Was the Prince tribute was super cool.
It was too short.
I was waiting.
They picked the wrong song for Prince.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree. But I was just waiting for either Janet or just another big name to appear. He did it all.
You were in a bad mood. If you didn't enjoy last night, you were in a bad mood. Now, here's the one thing about Justin Timberlake I don't understand. What are we doing there with the clothes? What's that message?
Oh, with
what's
the bandana.
It sounded like he was
kind
of mumbling.
Was he helping the cleaning crew here? Was he helping move stuff out of the Tribune? I don't get that look.
He borrowed some of the Olympic USA team uniforms with the fringe and then
those
were
Stella McCartney outfits.
No, this is more the Duluth Trading Company.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Goodwill.
It was bizarre. Yeah, camouflage pants.
And a scarf and I didn't get that.
He had an elk on his shirt. Was that supposed to be from Minnesota? I don't get it.
No. He's into the woods or out of the woods? What's the title of the
right, Into the Woods.
Man in the Woods.
Man in the Woods.
That's it.
I'm going to get to the bottom of why you hated last night. You were in a bad mood about something.
No, I really wasn't. I had the weekend off. It was nice. Got a couple of dinners in.
It was a great game. It was a very entertaining halftime show. Not one of the greatest of all time, but a very entertaining halftime show.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay.
And the Patriots didn't win, which was great.
And the Eagles won.
Yeah.
And poor Pink had the flu. I felt bad for her.
She nailed it, though.
She did great.
She did.
Wow. Having the flu.
Awesome.
Yeah, she
told you guys, platinum hair.
And again, my prediction last night was right on the nose. I mean, I predicted the Patriots would have 32 points. Or no, I predicted the Eagles would have 30. What did I say? I said, Patriots 31-13, right? So I said, Patriots 31, they had 32. Now, I may have been slightly off on the Eagles side of that prediction, but the so close on the Patriots side of the score.
Were you part of the Saturday score prediction fest on the beat?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah. What was in your that was your prediction?
My prediction was 31-13 Patriots. I was only off by about 30 points.
I did pick the Eagles.
I know you did. You and Hamp both on Friday, too.
Well, I wasn't on Friday.
Well, whatever, picked picked it with Hamp.
Yeah.
That part was cool that the Eagles won.
Yeah, something going on with you.
No,
there's some secret thing going on with you. You're meeting with your secret society on Sunday nights.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Great football game.
It was.
Nick Foles, he can come here and play quarterback anytime he wants.
I think he can go a lot of places and play quarterback.
Oh, and his little baby Lily is so cute. Okay.
So,
but she didn't get to hear anything. She had
those big headphones.
That's the rule now. You got a little one. You got to put the headphones on.
Do you do that with Abigail?
Yeah, sure.
I
don't, but the kids do.
Is that any time a baby goes out? Because I see those everywhere.
Anytime there's sharp noises, loud noises.
But I see kids in restaurants wearing them.
Well, it depends on how loud the restaurant is that you're going to. Maybe that's why you're in a bed.
We went deaf at two, and we liked it.
My parents used to take me to concerts when I was a baby.
Yeah, me too. With no headphones. That's why we're half deaf, Steve.
It explains a lot, doesn't it? It's 6:18. We'll get to the commercials. I think that whole thing is over. We've run the course of that.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Ugly weather coming later this afternoon. We'll get a live update on that in the second half of the top six at six. Here's a couple of quickies, though. A vote is expected today on whether to make public a Democratic rebuttal to the memo released on Friday by that creep Devin Nunes. Devin Nunes, Republican memo talking about the fact that he believes the FISA court was bamboozled. And the Democrats' memo, which should have been released side by side, was not, because it had not been completely vetted. But the Republicans couldn't wait to breathlessly get out a memo, which has turned out to be a whole big pot of nothing. But it's ugly, and it's more political back and forth. The Democrats' memo has to be voted on before it can be released. That vote is expected to come later today. And we have the Super Bowl ads we'll get into in a little bit, the most controversial of which are a Scientology ad and a Martin Luther King Jr. selling Ram trucks. And let's go live to Tim McGill. Where is he?
He's on the weather section?
Right there. Yep. Ready for us. 2 to 4 inches.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Do you have a favorite Super Bowl ad?
I like the one with the guy from Stranger Things, the Tide ads.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Bill Hader one.
Did you like Morgan Freeman in a rap battle?
I was uncomfortable with that.
Really? I liked it a lot. Morgan Freeman doing Missy Elliott. That's as good as it gets.
That was pretty unusual, yeah.
Oh, come on. All right, so on the commute back tonight, ugly?
Yeah. I mean, you know, any amount of snow nowadays with as much traffic as there is going to be ugly. But we're looking at about 2 to 5, I'm going to say, and maybe up to 6 inches. The computer modelers are suggesting less, but it's going to be kind of a light, fluffy snow. And the system has a lot of good energy and dynamics. So I think we're going to squeeze out a lot of snow with the system. Now, this morning, you only have to worry about getting your car started. It's just really cold out there. But after that, it looks like the snow will move in around 2-3 o'clock across our western suburbs first. I'm guessing it'll hit the downtown area around 4 or 5. So it will impact the evening commute.
Swell.
Yeah, about 2 to 5 in total, maybe up to 6 before it's all said and done. And then after that, we have one dry day over the next 6 or 7 tomorrow. And we've got a chance of snow every day, Wednesday through Sunday.
But this is the significant snow event of the week?
I think this will be the bigger one, yeah. And Fridays could be interesting, maybe an inch or two out of that. But this right now looks to be the biggest snow of the week for us.
All right, so who gets the 6 and who gets the 2?
Well, right now it looks like it's going to kind of slice right through the area. I'd say from like the city west all the way towards Naperville, DeKalb area, and south is probably going to get the heavier amounts, maybe the 3 to 4 or 5 inches. And then the lighter amounts the further north you go. But it looks like a pretty uniform snow, most of us at least 2 to 4 inches.
So I would suggest that everyone at work leave, what, it would say 11 this morning?
Yeah, get started within the next hour or so. Load up on coffee.
Actually, just come into work, pick up your work, turn around and go home.
Take your lunch with you. Yeah.
And just head back.
Exactly.
All right. Snow starts around noon. It'll go through 6 or 7?
It's going to start actually about 2 in the western suburbs.
That's my point.
And it'll end it'll end around 10 o'clock tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's going to linger.
It's going to last a while. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, I wish we had you on with better news.
Yeah, I wish I was having better news, too. Sorry.
So you didn't like Morgan Freeman rapping, huh?
It was okay. I like the other ones
pretty
better.
Pretty strong. You like the Tide guy?
I like the Tide guy. And I
don't like the Tide guy. I thought Tide may have wasted about $40 million last night.
I love the Pringle guy. Kevin, wasn't he yelling at Kevin?
I don't know.
You didn't see that one?
I don't remember the Pringle one.
Oh, it was with Bill Hader?
Oh, Bill Hader. Yeah. Anything with Bill Hader's funny. What did you think of the halftime show?
I was asleep, so I have to watch it.
Tim's coming into my world.
What do we see?
Tim,
he went to bed because he gets up at 2.
Yeah.
I get up at
1:15.
2:15.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to hurry that for you.
Yeah.
Do you think the greatest controversy, do you think Pink should have come to the Super Bowl with the flu and sing?
You know,
because singing is the number way to spread disease.
If you didn't know that she had the flu, you couldn't tell. She sounded great.
I believe she's infected over 75,000 people.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah,
that's
not
bad
good at all. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
There you go. That's Tim McGill from the McGills. Of Chicago.
Right.
Yes, and that's your top 6 and 6.
Yeah.
Sponsored by, well, you tell me who's sponsored by. Do you have that thing you're supposed to play? The thing where it's sponsored? Oh, we don't have that. Oh, okay. I'm confused. Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. All right, it's 6:27. Let's talk about these commercials for a second. I really like Morgan Freeman, and I really dislike pretty much everything else that was commercialized last night. The most amazing one, and this doesn't deserve necessarily the craziness that you're going to hear all day in the media about this, but everybody talks about the commercials the day after the Super Bowl. There was a commercial featuring Dr. Martin Luther King and a speech that was not one of his more famous speeches. But the thing I didn't understand, the speech was about commercialism and about the importance of spirit and heart as opposed to buying things. And it was sponsored by Ram Trucks. And obviously, they'd like you to buy a Ram truck. What did I miss there?
I was wondering the same thing. Yeah.
I didn't think it was. It's getting a lot of blowback this morning. I didn't think it was in poor taste.
Well, it's in poor taste, right? Because you're using Dr. Martin Luther King to sell stuff. But to use the speech, you had to have the rights to use the speech, I suppose.
Right.
Unless it was in the public domain. Nope. So I would assume the family gave it up.
Yeah.
Nope. Actually, they tweeted that they did not.
Well, who sold it then?
That's going to be a good question going forward today. The family of King said, asked the question, who gave them permission? Was it the family? And in capital letters, N-O.
Oh, my God.
Lawsuit.
Didn't you guys like, though, that when they were cross-cutting between the trucks and, like, the hardworking men and women and their... Oh, I thought it was a little poignant. I thought it was kind of cool.
Well, that was.
Yeah,
but I was like, where's it going?
It to sell trucks, probably, but it was kind of cool, the cross-cutting that they're showing between the speech and the point of the speech. You know what I mean?
No, because the whole the speech was about commercialism. So I don't understand why it was selling trucks. I don't understand.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yeah, well, everyone else did, apparently, because it's a huge story floating around this morning, so be advised of that.
Especially since Ram had another weird commercial. They had, well, I liked the one with the Vikings. Did you guys see the one with the Vikings and they were rowing and then they got all in the truck together?
Oh, yeah.
That one was...
Looked like
I
a Game
that.
Of Thrones on boats.
I thought that was kind of hilarious. And then I thought that was a Ram commercial. And then they did that political one. I thought, this is weird. What's going on?
And the Tide thing, the Tide Pods thing?
I didn't like Tide at all.
What was the point of that guy? He was on like 47 commercials
Stranger
last
Things
night.
Stranger Things, he's the sheriff.
I get that part, but he's selling Tide and I don't get it. Why?
And then he was Mr. Clean.
There were like eight different Tide commercials.
Yeah.
And they had to spend $20 to $40 million on that.
And people thought they were funny. I didn't get those at all.
I didn't get them at all either.
No.
There were two or three blackouts last night, which nobody could understand. And everybody thought, well, maybe it's my local cable system or maybe it'll come back. Do we have any explanation on the blackouts?
I did see a statement from NBC via Twitter that it was a problem at their end, but that no game action or commercial time was lost, which I don't understand because they were going to a commercial when it happened. But it was only a matter of seconds, really.
What about Eli Manning redoing after really stupid little teases the whole game, which made no sense, that looked like commercials it should have run that didn't?
Yes. Totally. Yes.
The payoff is Eli Manning doing Dirty Dancing with Odell Beckham.
Which I actually thought was...
Loved it.
It kind of was funny. Pretty funny.
Especially
you
the
sleeping
end.
Then?
I was sleeping by then, yeah.
That's one you're going to want to watch online.
No, you know what? That's what those. That was another one I thought, and it faded to black, and I thought it got cut off. And
there were four or five
time,
of those.
Yeah,
Eli Manning just comes on and went away.
I thought, all right, it's teasing something, obviously, but I just didn't care enough to find out what they were teasing.
I haven't looked at the rankings. What was the number one rated commercial?
Let's see.
All right, we'll get to that answer,
Tide
Kevin.
Tide Ad is Tide Ad, Doritos and Mountain Dew, Peter Dinklage and Morgan Freeman, yeah. And Skechers. Howie Long gets an upgrade. One, two, three. Those are
I missed that one. Yeah.
That's Howie Long gets an upgrade. That's an old commercial.
That's what it says.
So here's the point. It's over.
Yeah.
Because as long as you put these commercials out and you see them ahead of time, who cares? So the commercials, it's still going to be a thing because, you know, it's the Super Bowl. But the surprise element, the excitement element, yeah, I don't know how you fix it anymore. The funds are, you know what? You ruined it for everybody, Internet. Internet ruined it for everybody. We had a nice time. We had a nice little Super Bowl thing going. They ruined it for everybody. But here's my question. I was thinking about this last night. Here's your text question for the day. You know, you got bored. You didn't want to watch the whole thing. There's people that didn't watch any of it. There's people that don't watch the Super Bowl.
Right.
What's the number? Usually it's between 100 and 150 million, something like that, that watch the Super Bowl. Well, that's still less than half the country. So if you didn't watch the Super Bowl last night, what did you do? 312-981-7200. If you didn't watch it, by choice.
Or the Puppy Bowl.
If you didn't, no, just the Super Bowl. If you didn't watch the Super Bowl by choice, what did you do? Texters, 312-981-7200.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Got a blast of texters this morning. And I said, what'd you do instead of watching the Super Bowl? 224, I played video games. 847, caught up on Amazon and Netflix. I finally watched Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
309, I read a popcorn, I drank wine. Yeah. 773, I went grocery shopping. It was perfect because no one else was there. No line at that deli counter. Mm-hmm. 847, I was at work at Mariano's. Right after the game started, the place was empty. 773, had to work, then I went home and I slept. 847, I helped my kid with his homework. 847, I turned on Netflix.
Yeah.
So how about this? You don't have a good time during the Super Bowl. 708, I put in a battery backup sump pump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking
uh-huh.
about. 224, watch Victoria on PBS. Before that, I did laundry and made dinner. 630, working on family genealogy. Don't care about football. Oh, but what if you find out you're related to Y.A. Tittle? Huh? Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a problem.
Right.
630, got a pedicure. 630, instead of the Super Bowl, I did an Everybody Loves Raymond marathon.
See? What? My people
really?
Are out there. Look at them.
Really?
You got 3 pages of text there from my people.
I got like 10 pages yeah. of text. Just boom.
Uh-huh.
It's 312-981-7200. You didn't watch the Super Bowl? What'd you do? You know, whether you habitually didn't watch it or just couldn't watch it? By the way, if you did watch it and you want to make up an answer, that's welcome as well.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. Doc, standing by.
Up after midnight, both my arms and legs were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thighs, pink stuff in my eyes, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's...
It's
low.
Dr. Kevin Moss, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
How about that game?
Unbelievable.
You want to check out Andrea medically? She wasn't that entertained by it.
I just thought it was okay. It wasn't bad. It just, you know.
Did you want someone to be killed during it or something? Did you want a love interest brought in or a cute kid?
Might have kept my interest. I did flip channels quite a bit.
Were you doing something more fun?
No.
Okay. She's a medical. She's a medical oddity to me.
She is a medical oddity, yes. But we knew that before last night.
Hey, hey. Be nice.
But wasn't it amazing, though? You got down to even after the turnover by Brady, the announcers are saying, this game's not over.
Yep.
With a minute left and down by eight.
Yep. And Collinsworth nailed it.
You know what? They were right.
Yep. He said, if he can get them to midfield, which he did, which the Eagles were kind of giving him the underneath stuff, and he got the ball to Gronkowski on the sideline and all this. That's all he needed is one shot. That came pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you look at the replay. There was a deflection, and if the Patriots 2 feet to the right, number 13, I don't know who the kid is, he grabs the ball, and it's a touchdown, and the legend gets bigger. But he's still 5-3 in the Super Bowl with Belichick, or Belichick's 5-3. It's pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
More on football later with Hamp, with Mike Ditka. And Mike Adamley's going to be in later. We're going to talk about his medical situation. He made an announcement Friday on the Megyn Kelly Show on NBC. We can talk about it as well. I think it was Thursday or Friday. All of that is coming up. But, Doc, let's talk about, as you call them, the Rodney Dangerfield organs. The organs that get no respect, but they're so important. Andre, which one do you want to know about?
I want to know about the thyroid.
The thyroid, Doc. Can you tell us about the thyroid?
Sure. So the thyroid sits in your neck, and it's essentially one of the workhorses of the body. It produces something called thyroxin. It produces these things called T3 and T4 that is essentially our engine. It tells us how hard to work. It keeps us moving. And when we don't have a thyroid or a thyroid has cancer and it's removed, then we fortunately can just take supplemental thyroid and the body still acts and behaves properly. People that are hypothyroid, if you feel like you're worn out and you're tired and you're not doing anything and your nails are brittle and you're losing your hair, your doctor is going to check you for thyroid because you may need thyroid supplement. If you're very hyper and active and you're very skinny and you're always working, they'll look to see if you have a hyperthyroid, one that's acting too much and putting out too much thyroxin. So it's kind of the workhorse that kind of balances our energy.
Should you have regular thyroid checks, or is that part of your annual physical, or how do you know you got a problem?
Yeah, so the doctor is going to check you when he feels your neck and has you swallow. He's checking your thyroid to see if he feels if it's enlarged or if he feels any nodules in it. But the blood tests are really going to be done mainly if you have symptoms, although some people, as we age, will get something where they're hypothyroid and they really don't know it. So the doctor is definitely going to do a thyroid test probably somewhere between 45 and 55.
What about the spleen, the comedy organ, the spleen? It's a funny word. Is it a funny organ?
You know, the spleen is probably the Rodney Dangerfield of organs. It does so many cool things, and it's so cool. And I know you probably sit there and go, God, what a medical geek, you know, when you listen to this. But it is awesome. It is the organ that recirculates or regenerates our blood system. So it takes out the bad old blood cells. A normal red blood cell lives for about 120 days. And at day 110, 115, it starts to get a little ratty. The spleen takes it out, takes the portions that are important out of that red blood cell and recycles them, sends the iron back to the bone marrow, keeps the ferritin, keeps all the cool things. It also is a filter that takes out bacteria and viruses and keeps us healthy. So we can live without a spleen, but to be honest with you, spleen is the Rodney Dangerfield. Spleen is a really cool thing.
Where would the spleen be in the body?
Spleen's on your left side.
Left side?
And kind of right under your rib cage there.
Just under the rib. So that's why sometimes you'll hear of sports injuries. A lacerated spleen.
Well, absolutely.
That's what I wanted to ask, because when I was in college, I had mono.
Yeah.
And they said you cannot play any contact sports for a while because you have an enlarged spleen.
But if you were just bragging. You were in college trying to meet women.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You should see the size of my spleen.
Yeah, that didn't work out very well. But if you can live without one, why was that a concern?
Well, you can live without one, but we certainly don't want to take it out, because it does so many other good things. Like I said, it helps recycle your red blood cells, helps your immune system. So people are much healthier when they have their spleen. But it's interesting, Dave, when you had mono, the normal spleen weighs about 5 ounces. But somebody with mono, that spleen can get to be 2 pounds. Because of all the work it's doing. So
I would think you'd feel really, really terrible if you had a 2-pound spleen then.
Yeah, well, you believe me, you feel pretty terrible when you have mono, but people there, that's why we take people out of gym class, we take them out of contact sports, because we don't want them.
No gym for you either.
That's right.
Hey, how about kidneys?
Well, let's come back with that.
Oh,
let's come
okay.
back with a kidney and maybe throw in a pancreas.
Let's
Would you like
it.
A kidney and a pancreas?
I'll take a pancreas for two and a kidney for three.
Kidney and a pancreas and maybe a bonus appendix. Back to Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Doc, the text question is, you don't watch the Super Bowl, what do you do instead? 847, yeah. I never watch it. I was reading a good book. Join my husband at the TV for Pink and Justin Timberlake only. 217, I watch Star Trek Discovery all night. 630, grocery store. They're always empty during the game. 815, Batman on Netflix. And a bunch of people watch Victoria on Masterpiece Theater.
See, you guys can't make fun of me.
Well, you didn't watch Victoria.
No.
Yeah, you just didn't understand why it was okay, which brings us to your kidney. Do you have a problem with your kidney?
No, but so many people, I was saying to you off the air, now, if any of you guys needed a kidney, absolutely, I think I would step up.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know, do they have to be a match? How can you just live with one?
Oh, how do you determine if somebody can get your kidney?
That, and how can you just live with one? And what if you donate and something happens to yours, the only one you have left?
So, all great questions, but fortunately we do have two kidneys, but you would have to match. So you can't give your kidney to me if I don't match with you genetically, a pretty close genetic match.
Is there a way to explain that, or is it too deep medically as far as what
no,
the match
no, but
is?
Anytime you put a foreign body into the body, it's going to say, is this mine? And if it's not mine, I am going to attack it because I don't want it to be here.
Okay.
So if there's a good genetic match, then the body won't attack it much, sometimes at all. A lot of people need to take what we call immunosuppressive drugs after it because it's anti-rejection drugs. But take like, the Chicago police superintendent, Eddie Johnson, who just had a kidney donated by his son, which is really cool because we have something there we call the live donor. They're able to give one of their kidneys because they have two. Now, Andrea's question, what happens if your other kidney fails or you have problems with it? Yeah, then you're in a little bit of trouble and you need to be on dialysis.
I go back to the guy I gave it to and when I need that back.
Exactly.
Want it back.
One more, which is a very important organ, maybe not the Rodney Dangerfield category, but the pancreas. I'm a fan. What do we need to know?
Well, hold on. Let's go back to the kidney just
for Oh, you got more
second.
Kidney for me?
Well, yeah, just because there's some cool things going on with
oh,
the
okay.
kidney.
Go ahead.
You know, we tie people with kidney failure into dialysis and being on dialysis, which is they have to go to a center and be hooked up to a machine to essentially do the filtering that the kidney would normally do. University of California at San Francisco is working on an artificial kidney. And they're really close. I mean, they're going to be in human clinical trials this year where it's implanted in and it acts as a kidney. No more dialysis, no more anti-rejection drugs. You just essentially have an artificial kidney that's doing the work.
That is cool. And that's a world changer.
That is a world changer. Absolutely it is.
All right, get to my pancreas, will you?
Yeah, your pancreas. So we've talked, I don't know how many times, about diabetes and what's going on with diabetes. And when we do it, we probably don't ever mention the pancreas is the whole brunt of the problem here. The pancreas is the organ that kind of sits right in the middle of our abdomen. And it's the one that produces insulin, which is what the issue is with diabetes. So that the pancreas, we talk about diabetes all the time, but we never give the pancreas the recognition it deserves.
And the pancreas uses, other than the insulin producer, is multiple uses, or is that the main function?
No, that's pretty much the main function of it. But the interesting thing there is, think about how many people have diabetes right now. And you know the people that have to have their blood tested numerous times during the day, and they're giving themselves shots of insulin. Cleveland Clinic is working on an artificial pancreas, which would hook up to your body, which would measure your blood sugar, and would give you continuous infusions of insulin, just like we do, people who are non-diabetic. So you think about that. We look at the damage that insulin and diabetes do to our our heart, our kidneys, our vision. Now, all of a sudden, you take somebody who's diabetic, give them this artificial kidney, or excuse me, artificial pancreas, which is measuring the blood sugar and putting insulin back at a normal rate, so they act more like a normal person who didn't have diabetes.
Wow. That's big stuff.
It is.
We thank you for educating us on the Rodney Dangerfield organs. So.
And Mary, the appendix is pretty much, everyone used to think the appendix was totally worthless, and actually it's like, oh, it's just an appendix, take it out. But what we have found recently is that the appendix actually holds in it good bacteria that the stomach needs and the gut, not the stomach, but that the gut needs to help us in our digestion. So the old, oh, just an appendix, take it out. It's kind of been changing. It's kind of getting a little bit more recognition. So we'll probably take that one off the Rodney Dangerfield list.
Well, hold on a second now. Oh, I had my appendix taken out when I was like 9 or 10 years old.
A lot of people did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you don't need it. Anytime I have indigestion now, it's because I don't have my appendix?
You can blame it. Mm-hmm. But it used to be that it was just worthless. But now we're actually finding that it actually helps our immune system and helps our stomach, or excuse me, our intestines have the bacteria that we need.
Where am I going to get it now? It's 40 years ago. 45. Ridiculous.
Need an artificial appendix.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Doc, enjoy your day.
Go back to work, you guys.
Thank you very much. So this is the job. Maybe he doesn't know that. Back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN.
Foles under center. Smith in motion. On first down. Foles fakes. He's back. He steps up. He is going deep. And it is caught by Alshon Jeffrey for a touchdown.
An animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Wow, am I glad I was wrong. I'm the only idiot to pick the Patriots. And what turned out to be a phenomenal Super Bowl. Top five most entertaining all time, I believe so. Hamp, what do you think?
Well, just like you, you know, hey, it was a tremendous game. And, you know, the table was set for Tom Brady to come back and make his, his patented return to victory. But, hey, just like we talked on Friday, hey, the pass rush of the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, played a major role. And, again, hey, this is a good thing. This is the template for all Bear fans. We've got, you know, the hot assistant coach from the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. We've got the number two overall pick, and we've got a defensive coordinator that knows what he's doing. So this is exactly what we want to see as a Bear fan.
Could be brighter days ahead. All right, now I'm going to say something that is very dangerous. Is Tom Brady over? Tom Brady threw some horrible passes yesterday. Is that the first sign of maybe it's done? Or was that the bad paw? Or was that the rush? Or was that the hurry? He just made
threw for 505 yards.
But he made some passes that were not Tom Brady-like passes. Did you guys see anything or not?
Well, I don't know. You know, nobody is going to make every throw. But I got to tell you, As Andy just said, 500 yards. You got to kind of just shake your head and say, this guy's 40 years old. This is not supposed to happen. I'm amazed by his ability to not only persevere but to excel. So
the most amazing statistic I heard yesterday from you, especially for a guy like you in defense, most total yards in an NFL game ever, regular season, playoffs, Super Bowl, most total yards ever between the two teams I'm talking about.
And you're
crazy.
Saying he's done.
Well, no, I'm asking the question. Did you see? All right, I'm the guy that picked the Patriots. The turning point comes late in the game when you get that sack fumble. Prior to that, they didn't get to him. No sacks in the game until you get that sack fumble. But you're saying there was a lot of pressure on Brady? Is that why maybe he was hurried?
And you'll see this. Early in the game, there was, you know, good pressure, good tempo, which, you know, in a quarterback's mind, you have a certain, you know, comfort zone. And if you can get the quarterback, even if the concept of pressure. If you can make him think, oh, make him press, and you know the root cause of the root of the word pressure is press. Make him press, and you know Tom Brady was never comfortable. He throughout the night he knew, you know, he had to make something happen and get the ball out quickly. And you got to give the Eagles a lot of credit, you know. And as you said, he threw for a jillion yards, but they were able to do what they needed to do down the stretch and alleviate, you know, him making the game-winning throws, especially that strip. You know, I mean, that was something that, you know, as a defensive player, you're saying, wow, yeah, you like to see a game won by a defensive play, not the, you know, the bomb into the end zone.
Right. I would suspect, though, that his days as a receiver are somewhat numbered. I mean,
that was a running gag. Foles is a more reliable receiver.
He is. Only quarterback to catch touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, right. Nick Foles.
Right.
But I mean, you look at his performance, Hamp, and we're talking about it. I mean, here's a guy. He's one of only, I think he's the fourth quarterback to start fewer than five regular season games and win a Super Bowl. I think Doug Williams was last to do it. And I think a lot of people didn't give Philadelphia a chance. And, maybe if you looked at the last couple of regular season games after Wentz got hurt, that was somewhat understandable. But to play like he did in this game was just unbelievable.
It truly was. And again, to go back to what I said just a moment ago, you know, that has to give us great heart because I guess the underlining theme of this Super Bowl was, well, you know, the great New England Patriots were beaten by what? Okay, was it Nick Foles or was it great coaching? Doug Peterson, the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, in my mind, he was the MVP. He called an amazing game. He was excellent as the guy, not only calling the plays, but preparing his team mentally and schematically. So there's a lot of good stuff for us Bear fans. We can say, hey, the template that Ryan Pace has opted to go with, it's a winner. It just won the Super Bowl. Now, start your clock and buy your tickets. It won't be long.
Well, the exciting thing is what you said, that the Eagles look like what the Bears could be and could be in short order. I guess the wild card there is we got to find out who Matt Nagy is and if he's the real deal.
Well, and I got to tell you, the assistant coaches he hired. Now, I'm going to give Matt Nagy a B- as a head coach, and we all know why. You know, he did a horrible job in the second half of their loss against the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs. That is when you as a coach, oh, okay, Doug Peterson, he excelled yesterday. Well, Matt Nagy, he did not excel in that playoff game. But he said, I will use it as a learning experience, and I'll be much better. Well, that's a good thing to say, but the best thing is go out and get better assistants. He has put together an amazing staff, and if I'm Mitch Trubisky, I'm saying, wow, I cannot wait to go to work because this scheme is something that is so conducive to what he's able to do, and now we've got 5 months to not only prepare in the draft and find receivers and some pass rushers, but wow, if we could come up with two or three receivers, some pass rushers, this is a team that could jump up. And again, the Philadelphia Eagles, remember, was in ruins 2 years ago. Doug Peterson showed up last year, and all of a sudden he waved his magic wand and things started happening. Now they won a Super Bowl. It's a good story.
Got OTAs coming up. Got the combine coming up. And the draft. And it'll be summer. Camp for the Bears. What's the first thing you want to see in this offseason that'll make you think, oh, yeah, we're doing the right thing here?
Well, a combination of, you know, there's really not that many great receivers on the free agent market, but, you know, you just, you know, and I heard on the bumper coming in, Alshon Jeffrey. And again, I don't miss him, but he made a play in a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you got to have gifted receivers. We need some receivers. We need to go out and make a statement. And whether it's, you know, Jarvis or whoever it may be, Jarvis Landry, make a statement and say, we know we're going to build this team around this quarterback. Well, he needs some weapons. This is one of them. And that would be great.
Last word, Dave.
Well, just along that line, Hamp, the importance of a pass-catching tight end in this offense. I think we saw it last night. Zach Ertz. I mean, that's an unbelievable stat that this guy didn't drop a pass all year. And when they needed a play last night, tough third downs, and the game-winning touchdown, as it turned out, this guy was just sensational. And obviously, that's an area where the Bears right now don't know. Adam Shaheen showed some promise last year. You know, Zach Miller, I think, obviously has, who knows what his football future is. So, I mean, should that be an area of emphasis for the Bears as they look towards building the team for next season?
Well, it should be an emphasis for Adam Shaheen to say, hey, I need to become that type of player, mm-hmm. Zach Ertz or a Gronkowski. The first drive of the second half by the New England Patriots will go down in history as, hey, this is the tour de force of a tight end that wants to take over a football game. We drafted Shaheen in the second round because we expected him to be able to blossom and become that type of player. I'll tell you, you know, I was drafted in 79, didn't play in the Super Bowl for a few years, but I watched him, and I was saying, I want to be that guy, you know, hitting the quarterback. I want to be the guy, but, well, hopefully, Shaheen is one of those type of kids that say to themselves, I need to be better. I need to be more prepared. I need to be so consistent. I never drop a pass. I never miss a block. I'm going to become that type of player.
Right.
If he does, Adam Pace looks pretty damn smart, taking him, you know, where he did in the draft.
By the way, the woman they kept showing in the stands last night, Julie Ertz, Zach Ertz's wife, is on the U.S. women's soccer team, FIFA World's Women's World Cup champ. She's a midfielder, and I think she plays for the Chicago team here, doesn't she?
Yeah, the Red Stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that drive that Dan referred to to start the third quarter, Brady was 4 of 6 for 68 yards. 5 of his 6 pass attempts went to Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. He caught, there was one incompletion in there, caught the touchdown that got him back in the game. I mean, it was an unbelievable drive.
But the one that he missed clearly shows that he's over.
Yes.
hey, Hamp, Friday night, you guys are playing at the Auto Show. So for you guys that are going to First Look, and I think there's still some First Look tickets out there, and you support great charities if you buy a ticket to that event, you'll be able to see the Chicago Six and all their friends on Friday night. It's a great band. And I say this every year, but I mean it every year. Aside from being our friend and a pal, it's always great to have you on the show. We love your passion. We love you, man. So I appreciate you being on again.
Well, thank you so much. Love you guys at WGN. But I will tell you this. I really feel there are bright days ahead. And again, when I said this last week, I mean it. The template has been cast. Now we are following it. Let's see what happens. It's going to be a great year next year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing you Friday night. Love you guys, and go Bears!
There you go, buddy. Nice to hear him be positive, right, about that?
Absolutely.
Dean is tied up in television today, so coming up at 8:10, we are going to give away the Vegas trip. 1 week from today, we'll leave for Las Vegas, and then 1 week from tomorrow, it's the Blackhawks and the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, all day Tuesday, you and Stephanie Menendez, our management big shot, is on a plane with us to watch us.
To Vegas, yes.
You guys are going to run around Vegas and talk to some people that we can use on the show, right?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to find Hawks fans in Vegas. We're going to be at the venue. We're going to be all over the strip.
We also have someone we're going to renew their vows.
Mm-hmm.
on the Justin Kaufman show, because what we'll do is Tuesday night game night,
yes,
we're going to do a special 90-minute run-up to pregame.
Yeah.
And there'll be pregame for Vegas and the Blackhawks,
mm-hmm.
then a game. And then Wednesday morning, I'll do a couple of hours with Pete on this show as mm-hmm. Pete's filling in.
That sounds good.
All right.
It'll be a lot of fun.
We give away the trip just after 8 for all of you to send in snapshots of what a big black shot knucklehead you are. And by the way, okay, we get it. We get it, Blackhawks. You're trying to make this exciting. Right. How about if we start winning a bunch in a row right now?
That works. Let's do it. They're just keeping us on the edge of our seats. We're fine.
I'm telling you, my hair's going to go gray if this continues.
Your hair, yeah, it literally will.
Yes, it's going to be just too hard for me.
The one there.
In this tweet, he really goes against what a lot of other Republicans have been trying to say, which is that the memo is not intended to have anything to do with the Mueller probe. He wrote, "The memo totally vindicates Trump in probe, but the Russian witch hunt goes on and on. There was no collusion and there was no obstruction. The word now being used after 1 year of looking endlessly and finding nothing. Collusion is dead," the president writes. "This is an American disgrace."
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Interesting phrase, an American disgrace. We'll get to Ryan Nobles from CNN in just a second. Meanwhile, the texts continue to come in. The texts from people who didn't watch the Super Bowl. That was my question. My question was, hey, you didn't watch the Super Bowl? Well, what did you do? 815. I watched Mistress America and Step Brothers. What's Mistress America?
I don't know.
It's a good title. I've never heard of it.
Is it? You know what that is?
No, but it sounds like...
Well, it's a woman having an affair, but why is she Mistress America?
Not a pageant?
Oh, a pageant of women having affairs?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
All the mistresses?
Doesn't seem like you'd want to be that public, but who am I to guess?
It's a film. It's an American comedy film.
Have you seen it?
2015. No.
Oh, okay.
Just Google it.
847. Didn't watch the Super Bowl. Listen to Brian Noonan and Karen Conti. Well, thank you very much.
Oh,
very nice.
Yeah.
815. Went to a yoga class.
Was that Sandberg?
And then watched Narcos on Netflix.
Oh, it's not.
773. I have never watched a Super Bowl.
See?
I could have been one of the contestants on Jeopardy that missed every football question.
Oh, that was bad.
815. Went out for a nice dinner with my family. That's interesting that you could get your family to go out to dinner, because I would think somebody in the family would go, I'd really like to watch the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Although, think of the reservation you could get. Probably no.
I would guess.
Out there.
Well,
unless it was a sports bar.
Yeah, exactly. 219, why would anybody watch the Super Bowl? I watch Westerns, where the bad guys get up after the movie's over without any head injuries.
Right. And even if they're shot, they get up.
630, I avoid commercials anytime, so why would I watch them on TV? Well, because it's a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing.
Okay, don't be that way. And let's see, 414, I never watched Super Bowl last night. I listened to my own music.
There you go.
Well, I guess it's all about you then.
There you go.
Mr. Band. Ryan Nobles is standing by. It was Big Memo Friday. And good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you guys this week?
Game was so entertaining. Really was. I could give a rat's butt that the Eagles won, but I was very entertained.
It was a fun game. I mean, over 1,000 yards of offense. You don't see that very much, especially in Super Bowls, which can often be duds.
Ever. Ever. The most yards in an NFL game, and it was in a Super Bowl. Nuts. Crazy nuts.
It's crazy.
Just crazy.
It is neat to see Nick Foles go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady and not back down. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, Nick Foles may be a man without a country. You know, what's he going to do? Is he going to stay and play backup in Philadelphia, or is he going to go be a starter somewhere?
It's not a bad life.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So anyway, Ryan Nobles is here. Friday was Big Memo Friday. Devin Nunes was tasked as chairman of the House Intel Committee with getting to the bottom of whether or not Russia, in fact, infiltrated our elections. Of course they did. And how they did it and how to stop them. And he is absolutely getting to the bottom of that by creating a huge diversion that has nothing to do with that. So where are we on this story?
Well, I think the narrative that's going to come out this week is how do Republicans respond to this? Because what I thought was the most interesting thing that happened over the weekend was that the president actually took this whole thing a step too far. That perhaps he and his cronies had scored some points by pointing out that perhaps the information that was gleaned that led to the FISA court issuing a surveillance warrant on Carter Page may have been done not completely appropriate, but at the very least was suspicious. And for that reason, maybe that would cast a pall over the investigation in totality. And, you know, just kind of plant that shred of doubt. But then the president, of course, goes over the weekend and claims that this memo claims total vindication, which then led all these Republicans that were basically carrying his water from him on the House Intelligence Committee to go on in various interviews. And, you know, there was more than one, but Trey Gowdy being the most obvious one, you know, stating emphatically that this by no means offers the president the vindication that
right.
he's looking for, that it has nothing to do with the special counsel investigation, that it is a completely separate issue. And that is now, you know, so the president, whatever opportunity he had hoped would come from this to provide him that sort of clarity, he's made it murky once again. And I don't understand why the president and, you know, his son did it on Fox News over the weekend as well, decided to go that far. Because if he did have somewhat of a leg to stand on, it seems as though it's collapsed under him now. And he actually has Republicans who are coming out saying the special counsel investigation should go on.
They can't help but hurt themselves. And frankly, they're just not that smart. Now, today, the Democrats want to have a vote on whether their competing memo, their response memo, which should have been released simultaneously, will be released at all. What do we know about that vote?
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems as though they're, you know, I think the Republicans kind of realized because they took this step out that it's going to be difficult for them to not allow the Democratic memo to come out as well. So it seems pretty likely that Republicans are going to agree in the House Intelligence Committee to do it. Now it's going to go over to the White House and the president's going to have to sign off on it again. The White House seems inclined to allow it to go forward. So there's a good chance we're going to have another memo that's going to be dissected, and all your Republican friends on your Facebook feed are going to call it crap, and all your Democratic friends on your Facebook feed are going to say that this is the definitive proof that, yes, Russia is a big disaster. I don't know if it necessarily provides this clarity that we're all looking for as much as it just serves as another competing document for people with a partisan bent to fight over. My sense of the whole thing is that the Republican memo on its own, as it stood on its own, wasn't the smoking gun that Republicans were hoping that it was. And I almost wonder if another memo by Democrats serves to kind of undercut that this landed with a bit of a thud. But Democrats seem insistent on doing this. I don't know how much the American people are paying close enough attention to kind of go line by line and compare the two. But it's going to come out, and it's going to be another distraction to everything else that's happening in Washington. And whether or not it moves the ball any further down the field, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I agree with what you just said entirely. And the Democrats are going to go way overboard today, and they'll be screaming mm-hmm. at each other tonight, and nothing changes. The far right believes what they believe. The far left believes what they believe. And the fact is, there may well be issues in the FISA court that existed before or will exist going forward. There may well be issues with one or two more of the four judges. Anything's possible. There may be issues in the FBI. Of course it's possible. But this is not something you play out in public to create a distraction from the core question. The core question is, how did Russia continue to invade our election? How are they still doing it? Why are they doing it? Why are they being allowed to do it? What is the president's involvement, if any? And why won't he say anything negative about Vladimir Putin in the midst of all of this? These are the questions we need answers. This is not Congress priority. There are means to an end to figure this stuff out, and yet they choose not to examine them. We'll come back with Ryan Nobles in just a second. And Ryan Nobles, of course, from CNN. What are you going to ask when we come back?
I'm going to ask, well, if the dueling memos cancel each other out, the lingering feud between President Trump and the FBI, I think that is going to be that's going to be awful for all of us if that continues.
Yeah, we know the FBI. We like the FBI.
Yeah, we do.
We like the F, the B, and the I.
All of them.
Yeah.
All together.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, 7:52, the Steve Cochran Show continues. The tweeting president is tweeting this morning as Ryan Nobles rejoins us from CNN. I'll get Andre in here. Here's the latest tweet. Little Adam Schiff, who is desperate to run for higher office, is one of the biggest liars and leakers in Washington, right up there with Comey,
Warner, Brennan, and Clapper. Adam leaves closed committee hearings to illegally leak confidential information must be stopped. This is the nonsense, Ryan, that it's just inexcusable. The unfettered, undisciplined Twitter stuff that he does to accuse people of the highest possible character, like John Brennan and James Clapper. Good God, these two men gave their professional lives to leading our biggest and most important intelligence agencies. And the president of the United States is up this morning calling them liars and leakers, right? And this is where morale problems come in. This is why the majority of the population, 60 to 70% of the population, still thinks this president is a lying creep.
And here's the other thing, you know, once again, complaining and trying to distract from the actual substance of the issue, complaining about the leaks, not complaining about the substance of what those leaks have discovered. And that's the exact same thing that the memo did, right? The memo at no point questions the accusations or whether or not the substance of the information that's been discovered is incorrect. It questions the method by which that information was recovered. And this is what the president does. He very rarely addresses the issue at hand and finds some other thing to complain about. You know, is there a complaint to be leveled in Adam Schiff or at least his staffer's direction that there is stuff that's being leaked out of the House Intelligence Committee? I think that there is some merit to that complaint, but that doesn't deny the fact that the information that's been put out has some backing to it and that there's a real problem here and that he should allow the investigation to go forward.
I'm just curious. I'd love to ask a lawyer, at what point does slander or libel start to take effect here? Not even obstructing justice at this point, but when you go on social media and start name-calling people, I guess, Ryan, my question is, you know, all of these Comey, too, Steve. I mean, you mentioned all the other people, too, but Comey. You know, he had led the FBI for a very long time.
Well, those guys are public figures, though, so it's tough to fight a slander thing.
Yeah.
So certainly, I'd be banging my head against the wall because of it.
Do you think all of this, Ryan, lessens the credibility of the FBI?
I think it certainly does. And I think it's really hard for, if you're a rank-and-file FBI agent who goes out, I mean, you know, I live in Northern Virginia. I've got friends of mine whose sons and daughters play Little League baseball with my kids, and halfway through the season, you find out that one's an FBI agent. These aren't people that go around, you know, with signs over their heads telling you that they're FBI agents. They're quiet, hardworking, average, everyday people who do extraordinary things to keep our community safe. And if you're somebody that wakes up every day, and in some cases goes to a job where you might be risking your life, to find that the person who you essentially report to, the president of the United States, is questioning the integrity of your entire agency, I mean, how does that not have an impact on you? I mean, to the point where you have to have the current director of the FBI, who I might remind everyone is an appointee of Donald Trump, has to send
out
a letter, he has to send out an email to the staff to essentially keep them pepped up after everything that's happened this week. You know, it has to be damaging the morale and the overall infrastructure of the FBI. And the other thing I'd point out, too, is that FBI agents don't get paid a ton of money. They're government employees.
That's right.
They work long hours under difficult circumstances, and many of them do it for their entire careers. They don't cash out for big government contracting jobs. So, yeah, I think that this is something that is definitely could have a long-term impact. That's not to say that the FBI is perfect and every single person who works there is above board and that there's zero corruption. But the way you handle that is through individual cases and through inspector generals and things along those lines. You don't essentially trump up a witch hunt, to use the president's own terminology, against an entire agency, basically, to protect your own interests, which it seems as though the president is doing in this case.
One more before we let you go. The sanctions against Russia were voted almost unanimously by Congress to go into effect. This is a step up in the sanctions that were already in place. The deadline has come and gone. The president and the White House have said, we're doing enough. What recourse does Congress have when the president or the White House absolutely ignores a directive from Congress that should be put into play without any question?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, this is why you have people in Congress talking about constitutional crisis, right? I mean, this is Dick Durbin, your senator, this weekend on our program, State of the Union, he wasn't talking about the Russia sanctions, but he's talking about the possibility of Rod Rosenstein being fired, and,
right.
and he called it a constitutional crisis, but it's right along those same lines. When you have something that's passed by Congress, and, you know, including House Republicans, who tend to be a pretty favor of the president, and right. they're just willfully ignoring it. I mean, what is the next step? I guess they could pass another law that, you know, asks him pretty please, you know, put these sanctions in. They can sue him. They can take him to the Supreme Court to make that done. But I don't know if there's the political will to make that happen. But this is one of those things, Steve, where I think an explanation from the White House is needed, something more beyond what they've done at this point. Because when you talk about when you're putting together evidence as to whether or not there was some sort of inappropriate relationship between Donald Trump and his campaign, and you're looking at motive and you're looking at examples of why you think there's suspicion there, wouldn't this fall under that banner? You know, that he refuses to criticize Vladimir Putin, refuses to put in place the sanctions that were voted on by a Republican Congress. You begin to ask, why is it that you're not willing to take these steps? And unless the White House can come up with some sort of cogent explanation, I think there's a lot of people that would maybe point this back to being something having to do with what happened in the campaign. And for some reason, the White House is leaving it just hanging there, and the president's not taking that step. And I think that's why a lot of people are suspicious.
When everybody, every time you hear the words no collusion fall out of his big mouth. Explain then why four people have already been indicted and charged and will go to jail. There's more to come. And why Junior had a meeting in Trump Tower with seven others, including a Russian lawyer that he can't explain, that led to an excuse being drafted on Air Force One that may have involved the president. There's nothing but collusion. So,
and here's the other thing, and Steve, I'd make this point too. I was talking about this with some colleagues this morning, and the memo, you know, whatever hope that they're trying to push back on with the memo today comes from what we think we know about the investigation up until this point. And there is a very good chance, and I would say a better than average chance, that we only have seen a scintilla of what Bob Mueller has potentially uncovered as a special counsel. 95% of his work's being done behind closed doors. And that's different than what's being leaked out of the House Intelligence Committee, what's coming out of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Those are completely different. What Bob Mueller's looking into, we don't even have the faintest idea about.
Yep.
So this idea that we can declare anybody guilty or innocent based on these press reports up until this point is just not an accurate assessment of what's going on.
Got 30 seconds. Another short-term spending situation by the end of the week?
That's what it looks like. And in fact, to mention your senator again, Dick Durbin, he basically said that they're not going to play hardball with it this weekend, that they're willing to pass another short-term bill. It seems as though either Democrats just feel like they made a huge political miscalculation the last time around, or they just don't want to mess with it, and they trust Mitch McConnell. But the chances of seeing some sort of immigration bill on the floor this week, I think, are slim, but I don't think Democrats are going to play hardball on Friday. I think you'll see another CR pass to probably get us through the end of March or the middle of March, and then we'll see what happens after that.
There's not a chance a business could run like this, and it's the biggest business in the world. It's Ryan Nobles at CNN and at Ryan Nobles all over social media. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Talk to you soon. News next. We're giving away the Vegas trip. Woo. Did you win? Coming up in just a few minutes on 720 WGN.
Leaving Chicago, gonna take my show, WGN, to Nevada. The first time to visit in the city of sin since the day I became a granddaddy. There's a game between the Blackhawks and the New Golden Knights. I know we're going golfing when we land from our flights. The Cochrane temp is hot and the sun will be bright. Steve, Las Vegas. Steve, Las Vegas. Steve, Steve, Las Vegas.
Let's go to the phone right now. First off, thank you. Thank you, everybody that sent in entries. Hundreds and hundreds of entries. The trip is next week.
Yep.
We're going to Vegas.
Yep.
See the Hawks and the Golden Knights.
Yes.
We're going to hang out in Vegas. We're going to lose a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come back if we have enough money to get back.
Right. You're going to renew some vows?
Yes.
Yes.
What you said. So all of the entries have been scanned. They've been judged. They've been gone through.
It was very difficult, too, by the way, to
difficult.
Pick a winner.
Very difficult. Stressful. Very stressful. And it comes down to one guy. Mm. That's right. I said a guy. Is this Carl?
Oh, yes, it is.
Carl Scherer.
That would be it.
Carl, where are you from?
Northwest side of Chicago, Jefferson Park.
What do you do for a living?
I work for the Chicago Police Department.
Are you a cop?
I am. Almost 28 years.
Well, God bless, man. Thank you for your service to us.
Yeah, I appreciate the support. Thank you.
Carl, you're going to Vegas, baby. You are going. Yes.
All right, Carl.
I feel even better about it now that I know he's a cop. Right?
Ooh, right? Me too. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
No way.
When was the last time you were in Vegas?
About 3 years ago.
3 years ago. You lost all your money. You've saved it up now so you can go lose it again.
There you go.
I have Carl's entry here.
Yeah.
Carl is a Blackhawks fan. You know, I know Carl took his entire fishing boat. Mm-hmm. Looks like he had a professionally painted. We're gonna post this picture, by the way. Professionally painted with a Blackhawks logo in red and black all the way around the boat. And then you did up, it looks like, the interior of the boat as well. Tell me about the parts I can't see.
Okay, you got the outside pretty well. On the windshield, I have the basic championship conquest for the playoff runs. I've got the emblems of the teams that the Hawks defeated in their championship runs.
Right.
And superimposed over that would be the Tomahawks from the Hawk uniforms.
He's got the teams they defeated.
The Warbirds.
Yeah, he's got the teams they defeated and the Tomahawks in X's.
X'd out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
Very cool.
And the picture, too, holding the fish in the Blackhawks jerseys or sweaters. Those are awesome.
Yeah, who's the other guy in the picture?
A very good friend of mine, Jerry Kerpil.
And explain, this picture itself, even though you're a Northside Chicago guy, this picture was taken where?
On the Detroit River, behind enemy lines.
Fishing in Red Wing country.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How about that? Right. Well, you sound like a pretty serious dude when it comes to fishing. Are you?
I enjoy it quite frequently, yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, listen, I look forward to meeting you in person, man. Congratulations. I'm very happy you won. Who are you going to bring on the trip?
I'm going to bring my wife.
Ah, that's great. And does your wife know this yet? Is she listening right now?
I'm pretty sure she's listening. I told her,
I was a
finalist, and I'm like, well, I don't know. Sounds promising.
There you go.
From you guys, and here we go.
How long have you been married?
16 years.
And any kids?
No kids.
Okay, look at you. Free as a bird.
Aunt and uncle out there, though, let me tell you that.
I'll bet you are. I have no doubt. Does your wife work as well?
She just retired from the same job I have.
Oh, she was a cop, too?
Yes.
Well, look at you guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
Healthy and happy. How many more are you going to do?
Probably about a year and a half.
Well, stay healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, man. I'll see you in a week in Vegas. Stand by. More to come for Carl Scherer. I hope you're happy.
Carl. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Can't wait to see you guys.
Carl, what do you play? Craps? Roulette? Blackjack?
Blackjack.
Oh, we'll have to hit the blackjack tables.
Yeah, and Andrea's going to teach us all how to play craps.
Yeah.
I just got to get the name straight. My wife's name is Andrea, and your name is Andrea.
All right, cool.
We'll take care of that.
We will have a good time in Vegas.
Dude, you've been married long enough. She won't care if you mix it up.
We'll have fun, Carl.
All right, man, hold on. That's great. I love that guy.
It's fantastic. I love it. And I even love the fact that he takes the Blackhawks boat on the Detroit River.
Oh, yeah.
Ha-ha, Red Wings.
Into enemy territory.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said the Black Hawk table, Andrea.
I know, right?
That's awesome.
Exactly. Blackjack, Blackhawks.
They need a Blackhawks.
Blackhawk.
Yeah, you know what? He custom did the boat. He could custom do the table.
Perfect.
You lay the cards out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sounds like a good dude, huh?
Yeah, sounds great. Very
and a,
cool.
And a
thank
husband
for
wife
service.
Cop team.
Yep, love that.
Well, that's great stuff.
Super
we like
cool.
that.
Yeah.
Congratulations again to Carl Scherer. Scherer. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Probably just should call him Officer.
Yes.
Officer Carl.
Yes.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So he'll be on the show with us next week as well. So there you go. Congratulations. And I don't know if Dave and I mentioned this yet, but the Hawks got to start winning.
Yes, they do.
Right now.
Yep.
Right now. Right
now.
Yes.
Enough of this tomfoolery and shenanigans.
They had a 2-0 lead Saturday night in Calgary.
They're right? just, you know what? They're just keeping us on the edge of our seats.
Okay. We're there.
We're all good.
I'm running out of the edge.
Yeah. Going to fall right on the floor soon. More of these texters, and you can jump in on this. You didn't watch the Super Bowl? What did you do? 312-981-7200. 920, commercials aren't what they used to be. Don't care about the game. Binge The Crown. You know that show, The Crown?
Yeah.
I watch it.
Dave watches that. Yeah,
a ton of people said they watch Victoria, man, masterpiece on PBS. We have a very educated, very classy audience.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Watch David Attenborough's Penguins 3D in 4K. And then other things on the DVR. Haven't watched the NFL for years. So there you go. That's just a handful of them. We got like 20 more pages of these textures.
Something that bothers me about this.
About not watching the Super Bowl?
No, it's not that people choose not to watch the Super Bowl. It's that they somehow, some of them, seem to be implying that they're superior.
They're better than us?
Because they didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's probably some truth in that.
Yeah, maybe.
There's probably some truth in that.
Especially when they watch Victoria.
Yeah, there's some truth
in that. And The Crown.
No, I think they're better than us.
Yeah,
I don't doubt it. Texters 312-981-7200. We'll try to get to the bottom of why Andrea bumped her head last night and didn't enjoy the game.
It was okay.
Or the halftime show.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
8:25. You know, one of the things about I hear Andrea didn't enjoy the halftime show.
No, I didn't say that. I just said it was not the best I've ever seen. It just I
agree with that. But here's the thing: there was something wrong with his mic.
Is that true?
Yeah, and it's inexcusable to me that you could have NBC had a bunch of tech problems. It's inexcusable to me that you would have a bad sound check and not fix it, or just a bad mix once the show started. But there was like this slightly muted thing going on with his mic the whole time. That drove me a little nuts.
Why lately does this keep happening? Like Adele at the Grammys, Justin at the Super Bowl. It's like they do the sound check.
Drunken engineers.
Yeah.
It's the only answer.
It's like
drunken engineers.
He wasn't loud enough, right? That's what you're describing.
That's exactly what it is.
And so my husband thought, because we watched it a second time when we got home, that maybe because he's dancing so much and breathing sometimes, you know, they make adjustments for that type of thing. But
when he sat down or when he came out in the initial, which was this weird little funky electronic thing, it was a very low key start, and it was muted then. It was muted the whole time.
Well, Filthy, that song he was doing in the beginning, is muted. It's more.
I know, it's like a tech thing.
Yeah, but when he came out, you would have heard like.
He wasn't loud.
Bringing Sexy back, you didn't hear him really.
No, it wasn't
very
loud.
No,
I kept turning up my TV.
That's what we did.
It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, we did that too.
Having said that, show is very entertaining. And the funniest thing you've said all day was off the air when you said, "I wanted more." You wanted more. What do you want him to set himself on fire?
No,
he was in like 30 different sets.
There's like thousands of people on the field dancing.
Let me just defend myself. He is fantastic. Justin Timberlake is awesome, and he's entertaining, and he's, you know.
So stipulated.
I'm not going to drag Joe Romano under the bus with me, but he put it best when he said he's one of his favorites. He's one of my favorites.
Hold on. Joe's involved in this now?
No, I'm not going to drag him under the bus.
What is your involvement with this?
I didn't think it was all that good either.
See? And he's a millennial. We're the same age-ish.
Look, it's not Springsteen. It's not Bruno Mars. It's not Prince. But it was really entertaining.
But okay.
You weren't entertained by it, Joe?
I was hoping for more.
We wanted more. We wanted more people.
What is more? Like, even a jetpack where he blows through the roof of the place? The guy couldn't have done anymore.
That would have helped.
I wanted more Prince.
If you wanted more, Prince was good, but I just wanted someone else. I was waiting for Janet Jackson. I was waiting for another big name
to come out.
Janet
said no.
Oh, she did say
she
no?
She was asked and
all
she
right,
said no.
Then I was
How about NSYNC?
Another big name.
Cheesy NSYNC move.
You needed 3 minutes more people than just him.
We were timing it. At 3 minutes in, he had already sang six songs. Like,
and
I don't know how you could
have
more.
Every song,
was good.
Every song, with a couple of minor exceptions, had its own set.
Yeah.
I have no idea, outside of a fleet of bulldozers, how they got everything off the field.
And okay, he went in the crowd. That was great. That was cool. Woo-woo, high five with the kid who had no idea who he was. The kid was probably like, I thought it was Justin Bieber, because he was looking at him okay. I don't know. I wanted more.
You're nuts, and your friend Joe's nuts.
I wanted
nuts.
More people. I bet more people. I bet people agree with me and Joe.
Okay, let's throw that out. 312-981-7200.
He was good. He wasn't bad. It just was lacking
commercials last night.
Do you have a commercial you liked?
Why? You're going to make fun. You made fun of the commercial that I kind of liked,
which
too.
Which one did you like? I forgot.
Okay. You're going to jump all over me, but wait.
Probably, but which one was it?
I thought the Martin Luther King one with...
Oh, no. God.
No,
she was eating something bad yesterday.
Seriously, you were in a bad mood. You were in a bad mood.
No, I was in a great mood. I had a great weekend.
I doubt it.
I love the Tide ones because I love doing laundry, and Tide is my detergent of choice.
The Tide ones are so stupid.
I was like, when I saw Tide on the screen, I thought, yes, this is my Super Bowl.
There are like six, seven, eight Tide Pod commercials. Okay, we get it. Tide Pods.
All right, I liked, here's one I liked. Morgan Freeman and the guy from Game of Thrones doing the...
Peter Dinklage.
Love that.
Peter
Dinklage. Love
doing the rap. And
Morgan Freeman doing Missy Elliott, the music of my people.
Those two
I want to try Pringles, you know, the...
barbecue one?
Yeah, when he was stacking them to come up with different flavors. Mm-hmm. I kind of was intrigued and would like to try those Pringle combinations.
The Eli Manning thing turned out to be funny Dirty Dancing.
You know what my favorite
was? I thought that was kind of
dumb.
The Sprint one with the robots. It was right at the beginning. Sprint. All the robots were telling the guy off, and then at the end, what did he say at the end?
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, it was at the beginning.
I must have missed it.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that
I must have missed it.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that when I watched them all ahead
of
time.
Then he went to the Sprint store, and he's like, my colleagues told me that. It was really funny. You got to look that one up. It was
Joe,
Sprint.
Did you have a commercial you liked?
Yeah, I like the Bill Hader Pringle one, too. I'm just so sick of the Bud Light ones. I know we're talking about stuff that we liked.
Agreed.
But
Joe
the Bud
and I
Light,
are still
the Dilly
on the same
Dilly,
page.
I am just so over it.
God,
dude.
I am, too. They hit the bar so high with the 9/11 Clydesdale video. Anything after that is, and the, you know what, the Bud was cool when they filled up the water.
Yeah,
okay,
that
was
all,
they helped
yeah,
with
but
the
here's
balance
the thing.
Relief.
Well, hold on,
very
a second.
Touching.
Hold on a second. Here's the thing: if you are one of the world's largest companies, mm-hmm. InBev that owns Budweiser, mm-hmm. and you do 100,000 million cases of water, whatever it was, just do it. Don't say, "Aren't we swell by doing it?" It's a lame.
But I don't think a lot of people know that they did that. So maybe that was kind of like tooting their own horn a little bit.
It was.
Yeah.
That's why the Tide Pods are where it's at. Laundry lovers out there, mm-hmm. shout out. Woo.
The best and worst Super Bowl commercials all over the internet this morning. Dave, did you have one you liked?
I did like the Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr.
It's always sports with you. Will you broaden your horizons?
Not really, because I was, like everybody else, wondering what all those short clips of Eli were leading up to it. And I wasn't
dumb.
Really paying much attention.
Dumb.
But the actual payoff, I thought, was pretty funny.
So, all right, but here's the problem they have. I mean, it's going to be part of the Super Bowl every year. But if you're going to put them on the internet weeks in advance, and some of these they put on TV before,
right.
There's no surprise anymore.
No,
there's not.
So, like, you remember the first time you saw the Clydesdales, you know, with the frogs? No, the Clydesdales, doing their thing. Or,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, they were always special.
It was.
Monkeys in an office tearing an office apart. That was special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. CBS did a one-hour special the other night on Super Bowl commercials, including a lot of the commercials that were shown last night, which you wonder if somehow that was a competition with NBC, since NBC had the game and CBS was trying to trump them, so to speak.
It might be our age, nice. Though, because my stepson, Patrick, you know, he's going to be 11. On Sunday morning, he was like, I can't wait to see the commercials. I've been watching them on YouTube, and they're all so good. Like,
really?
Yeah, so the tees were, yeah. Like, he was really pumped to watch them.
Even though he'd seen them.
Even though he already knew them, yeah.
Does anybody know what happened with the Steven Tyler commercial? Or is he supposed to just look like a really super old guy driving a race car backwards?
I don't know. Remember last year he had the Skittles one,
yeah.
too, where his face kind of exploded? He always does weird Super Bowl commercials.
That was because he was driving backwards. He was going back in time. And then at the end, he showed up looking like the old Steven Tyler because it was old and like the hippies were running around. Didn't you get that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
No.
And I love the Aerosmith.
I loved that. It was a Kia commercial.
Totally missed it. There
and
was
I
another...
love the Jeff Goldblum one, too, in the Jeep.
There was another Kia commercial where people are getting on a plane to go somewhere and TSA pulls them into a room, mm-hmm. shows them a video of people who have had cancer. And their treatments were paid for, research was paid for, because every Kia that's purchased, money goes towards research. And then they said something to the effect of, would you like to meet these folks? And they came out of the back after talking about having cancer.
Oh,
it was
wow.
a big emotional thing, and everybody crying and stuff.
Was it Hyundai?
I thought it was Kia. Maybe it was Hyundai.
It was Hyundai.
Hyundai.
That was another tootin'
horn
thing.
Let's make sure we get it the right way, though. Yeah, but that right way got me.
Oh, there. Well, Mary, though. Look. Tooting the horn, she just said.
Yeah, so. Another tooting the horn.
That was
commercial.
A tooting the horn?
Yeah, tooting the horn.
Get it?
Yeah. So anyway, that's our incredibly detailed summation of last night's Super Bowl commercials. And you didn't like the game either, huh?
I just thought it was boring. I just flipped channels.
Boring.
I didn't care about the Patriots. I didn't care about the Eagles.
You don't have to care about
it. If it was the Bears, I would have watched.
It would be an exciting game.
Yeah.
Boring.
It's okay.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this before 10. Something happened to you this weekend.
No, it did not. I had a great weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you say.
Relaxing, fun.
You need to work more on the weekend.
No, I had a good weekend.
He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
Ditka. Well, it's coming. Right now, right for us at 22,000 miles an hour.
Ditka.
Not a soul on earth can hide from
the Steve Cochran Show now welcomes Mike Ditka.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what.
The best Bears conversation is right now on 720 WGN.
Well, obviously, our favorite Super Bowl, Bears 46, Patriots 10?
Yes.
Yeah, how can I forget that? But last night, pretty good. Pretty good. Coach Mike Ditka. That was an entertaining football game.
Great football game by two great teams, well coached, great quarterback. You couldn't ask for anything more. You hate to see one team lose in a game like that. But, you know, the Eagles really, they've earned it. I mean, but, you know, when you look at watch what Brady did, and I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, but, you know, I didn't pull for any one or the other, but it was a great game. It's good for the sport. It's good for football. It really is. But Eagles had a great win, and it's their first Super Bowl win, and it's a great one.
I think back to some of the great endings in games. We've had two in a row now. I was kind of hoping for overtime again because I didn't want the game to end. But for a long stretch, mostly in the 90s, if I remember right, after the 49ers run, we had some ugly games. You know, games that just weren't that interesting. Probably goes back to even the Bills. But you know what? The first one I remember, Coach, and I know you remember this, Baltimore Colts and Dallas Cowboys, when a rookie kicker named Jim O'Brien hits a field goal at the end of the game to win at 16-13. That was a great game.
Exactly. I knew the score. I couldn't remember his name, but I knew the score. Yeah, no question about it. There's been some good ones, and it's like anything else. You know, you got the two best teams in the league get in it, and then even like it happened in 85, the Patriots were a good team. It just got away, you know, when we beat them like the way we beat. Every once in a while, that's going to happen. I think yesterday was justified the whole thing. I mean, really, two of the best teams, well, the two best teams, played a great football game. I mean, anybody who's a football fan had to enjoy that game.
I think every time New England would do something, because the Eagles had a really strong drive to start the game, ran into that New England red zone defense, had to settle for a field goal. The Patriots would score, but each time it seemed like the Eagles had an answer. They never went away. They never let the game get away from them. What was your favorite moment in the game last night?
There were so many, really. I mean, the competitiveness of both teams. I mean, what they were doing offensively. I mean, you know, guy, you say, well, there wasn't very much defense in the game. When you got offenses that are operating at this efficiency and they're this good, it's hard to play great defense. I mean, you're spreading people out. I mean, there were plays everywhere. I mean, I sat and I marvel at Brady accuracy throwing the football. I don't know. What is he, 41 or 42?
He's 40. 40,
yeah.
40, and I mean, his accuracy at throwing the football is incredible. It's a storybook finish. I mean, the kid's not even playing football early in the year, and he's we won the Super Bowl quarterback for Philadelphia. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
You know, you look through the I'm just fast glancing at a list of these Super Bowl games, and so many of the close games have ended with tough stories. I always felt bad for Scott Norwood, mm-hmm. because when Scott Norwood missed that field goal for the Buffalo Bills, not exactly a chip shot, kids. You know, I think it was 48 or something, and he missed it wide right. And those type of things shouldn't mark your career. What should mark your career is what you're talking about, Tom Brady's success. He loses that game last night. Well, guess what? He didn't lose it. The Eagles won it.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and it's the same about, you're talking about the kickers. You miss a field goal like that. You know, I mean, we know that we pay them because they're kickers and they're supposed to be able to make them. But you can't make every one. I mean, Mickey Mantle struck out.
Sure.
Babe Ruth struck out. You know, Willie Mays struck out. You can't hit it every time. That's just the way it is.
How about some of the plays, Mike, that Alshon Jeffrey made, especially in the first half of that game? Not just the touchdown, but there were some other catches that he made that I think kind of underscored just how good a receiver, how talented he really is.
Oh, he really is a good receiver, great receiver, actually. You're right. I mean, I watched him play, and I'm saying, wow, that's one that got away, because that mm-hmm. kid is really a good football player. And you know what? They know it, and that's why they use him that much in the offense. I mean, he's kind of the featured guy, him and Ertz. So, I mean, I think they do a good job of Philadelphia of getting the ball to him, too, in situations. They probably set up a lot of plays just to get him open. But I thought he played very good. But, again, everybody played good. It was a wonderful game to watch. I don't care who you're a fan of. If you didn't like that game, you don't like football.
There is a reason to celebrate in the city of Philadelphia, which is a great sports town, but hasn't had a championship in any of the major sports in a while. And, Coach, we had a question off the air about what the Philadelphia police were using to keep people from climbing up the poles in the city. And we're going to go live to Dave now. Dave, tell Coach and I, what were they using to keep people from getting on those poles?
Well, if you remember, they were using, after the NFC championship, Crisco oil.
Yeah.
They switched. I don't know why.
Okay.
But they switched to hydraulic fluid. This is true. I'm not making this up. Hydraulic fluid on the street poles.
That's awesome.
Coach, I hope you can rest tonight. We got an answer.
Well, only in Philadelphia. What can I tell you?
Now,
I mean, they could have just went with some Crisco. I mean, get some Crisco, put it up, freeze it up a little bit. I mean, it'd be hard to go up those poles.
Man, it attracts bears. The other kind, not yes. The good kind. Speaking of the Bears, Hamp was on this morning, and he is very optimistic because he sees a lot in the Bears of what you have as a template from the Philadelphia Eagles. You see the same sort of similarities?
Well, I think they're going in the right direction. I love the quarterback. I love a lot of things they're doing. Again, you know, the only way it's going to prove anything, you've got to get results. You know, we live in a results-oriented world, and if you don't get results, I don't care how many good things you're doing, nobody understands it. But I agree? Yeah, I agree with Dan 100%. I love it. You know, I think the potential, the nucleus is there. What else you got to put around it, I don't know, because I'm not looking at it close enough. But, yeah, it's there. And, hey, it's time. It really is time.
Last word, Dave Bennett.
Well, it's been great talking to you all season, Coach. And as you made a comment earlier, I just want you to elaborate. You said this was good for football, this game last night. How important was having a Super Bowl like this for the game, especially with, you know, let's face it, there have been some ratings issues and some other comments about the state of the game right now. Why was this one important?
Well, I think the whole from beginning to end. I mean, first of all, the football field is not a stage for all this, what's going on in our, what has been going on this year. You know, you honor your country, you honor your flag, you honor your opponent. I mean, you respect the game. The game of football has been here a long time. It's going to be here a long time after we're gone. So just respect it. Play the game. Everybody makes a good living at it. I just don't understand why there's so much so many people are saying that they're being I don't know what the word is actually, but it really bothers me. What football is? It's a tremendous opportunity for everybody who plays the game to make a great life for yourself, to make yourself better. as a family, in the community, in the business world, anywhere, every which way you can go. It's an opportunity, and that's all we can ask for in life.
Well, we all ought to be better. I completely agree with you, Coach. We all ought to be better at appreciating what we have and how lucky we are to have it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Listen, I want to echo what Dave said. Thank you so much for doing the show. And Super Agent Steve Mandel is my agent as well. And once you and I get rid of him, we can really do something.
All right. He's the best.
He is the absolute best. Thank you, Coach. That's Coach Mike Ditka. All right. I'm going to go through these quickly here, Dave. Okay. Greatest Super Bowls of all time.
Okay.
I mentioned Super Bowl V being exciting. Super Bowl X, Dave, Steelers 21, Cowboys 17. They had two good Super Bowls. And just two or three years later, the Steelers beat the Cowboys 35-31. That one, I believe, was the crazy Stallworth-Lynn Swan catch game where they both were doing those acrobatic catches that show up on every NFL
highlight
film.
Yes, I think the one that was it, yes.
Andrea, you weren't born at that point.
No. Yes.
No.
Right about that one.
And then you got to go all the way to 23 when the 49ers beat the Bengals 20-16. Wasn't that the Joe drive?
I was there, yeah, at Pontiac Silverdome. It was Joe Montana to John Taylor for the game winner to beat Boomer Esiason and the Bengals.
That's the one, right? That's the one where Montana's in the huddle and everybody's nuts, crazy tense, and he says to his guys before he calls the play, "Hey, you guys, is that John Candy?"
John Candy
was sitting in the stands.
What year was that?
82,
I believe.
Yeah, it was Joe Cool.
Giants beat the Bills 20-19 on the Scott Norwood wide right. Mm-hmm. And then you got to go all the way to the Broncos and Packers. That was a 31-24 Broncos win. Broncos won again the following year.
That was Elway finally winning.
One of the great, great, great Super Bowls. Two teams that you went, eh, Rams-Titans. Where the Rams had to make a saving tackle at the end of the game. Titans were going to score to tie the game. And that was the year of the Tennessee Miracle, right?
The Music City Miracle.
Music City Miracle,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. You don't remember any of these,
no.
Do you? Yeah, that's
no.
What I thought. Patriots over the Rams, 20-17. That was one of those late Adam Vinatieri field goal situations, as was Patriots 24-21 over the Eagles. The 32-29 game over the Panthers was another great Patriots.
Jake DeLome was the quarterback for Carolina.
You remember,
and
Andrea,
you know who the coach was?
How much you love Jake DeLome?
You know who the coach was?
Yeah, sure. John Fox.
Oh.
That's exactly right. Giants over the Patriots, 17-14. That was going to be the Patriots' undefeated year, I believe.
That was the Tyree catch wedged against his helmet.
Yep. Oh. Steelers 20.
No, that I probably would remember.
Steelers.
That sounds eventful.
Yeah, would
Steelers,
you like that one?
I would have liked that one.
Steelers 27-23 over the Cardinals, a good game. Packers beat the Steelers 31-25. Giants, another close one with the Patriots. Ravens
boring,
over the 49ers
boring,
was close. Patriots, Seahawks, just two or three years ago, when the Seahawks had it won.
I remember that one, RG3, right?
No. Not even at the game.
RG3.
Wasn't it the one guy?
No.
RG3. No, RG3 was in the Redskins.
I remember when the Bears won. Okay.
That was the interception at the end of the game.
Sam, Andrea's Super Bowl look back coming up soon. Anyway.
It won't take long.
The reason yesterday was so entertaining to me was out of 52 Super Bowls, I would guess 10, 11, maybe 12 have been really close, exciting finishes.
You could argue that, now, last year's game, start to finish, wasn't a great game.
No, second half was it.
But second half was great. It was, I think, the two best finishes, probably the last two, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No, hands down.
Oh, man.
Andrea's historical walk back through Super Bowl history.
I like pink.
You only get it here. All right, back with the news in a second, and hi to everybody on CLTV.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sandberg brings good news.
Oh, good.
Seems that I will be able to buy Justin Timberlake's outfit and wear it.
Oh.
Hey, does it come in big and tall? I'm just curious.
You can put a little bandana, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our friend Deborah Norville joins us now from Inside Edition. How are you?
Hi, I didn't know you could mix prints the way he did, but apparently it's okay to do that.
You know, I don't know. I really like the show and I really like him, but I don't get the outfit.
I think it was cool. What do I know? I'm told that that was cool.
Well, let me tell you, you know more than I do.
I know nothing.
Inside Edition had Nancy Kerrigan running all over Minneapolis. How'd that work out?
That worked out great, and she was terrific, and thrilled to say that as the Olympics progress in the next few weeks, when news events warrant, Nancy Kerrigan will be with us talking about whatever it is that's making headlines out of the Olympics. So it's been a lot of fun for us to have her on the team, and she's done a great job.
I haven't looked at any of the, in quotes, handicapping for the games. I mean, normally we compete very well in figure skating. Do you know if we're planning on doing that again?
I honestly have no idea. I am a football fan, and now that the Super Bowl is behind us, I have 6 months of wondering what the heck am I going to do. So I haven't focused on the games, and I regret to tell you I know nothing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I got to spend some time with it. Andrea.
Dora, Deborah, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Hey, I have to ask you, Nancy Kerrigan, with I, Tanya being back in, putting that back in the spotlight, a whole generation, I mean, we know who she is and revere Nancy and love her, but a whole generation now is learning about Nancy and I, Tanya. Does she have any thought on, you know, this new generation, I guess, being thrust back in the spotlight with I, Tanya?
Well, that's really why we reached out to her, to be honest. We saw all the publicity that Tanya Harding was getting for the I, Tanya movie. She's on the red carpet, the Golden Globes,
right,
sitting with Margot Robbie. And look, she can say that she knew nothing about the attack, but she was on the team with the bad guys, and we were just sort of thinking, well, what about Nancy Kerrigan and all of this? So that we just reached out to her, and we said, look, we always have a celebrity correspondent help us with our Super Bowl coverage, and we would love to invite you to be that person this year. Last year it was Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles, or reverse order. And she thought about it. She said, you know what, that'd be great. And so I think for Nancy, and I'm speculating here, but I think I'm not off the mark, I think for her, the opportunity to do this with us was a little bit of putting your foot in the water. Her kids are older now. She's really focused on raising her children, but now she's got the luxury as a mom to spend a little more time away from them, and I think this was a really easy way for her to test the waters, and I thought she was great. She's a natural. She's charming. She's pretty. She's lovely, and who doesn't want to watch somebody like that on television? So I think this is an opportunity for her to maybe grow her career in that area, should she choose to.
That's great.
Did you see I, Tanya, by the way?
I did.
Margot Robbie was unbelievable.
Yeah, but I'll tell you who was really amazing was Allison Janney.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Allison Janney playing the mother, who was such a dreadful person.
Oh, my God.
Inside
horrible.
Edition got the exclusive interview with the mother. So if you guys listening are regular viewers, you've seen, her name is not Harding. She has a different last name. You've seen Tanya Harding's mom on television and commenting about how the story's been told.
Yeah, and everybody we know that was in and around it, and I'd be curious to see if you had the same experience, says, oh, yeah, that's the mom. I know the mom doesn't want to be painted that way, but certainly people that were familiar with the circumstances seem to indicate that Tanya was telling the truth.
Yeah, well, we also had the clubber, Shane, I'm blanking on his last name. We had an exclusive interview with him just a week or two ago, and his story is, oh, I'm a changed man, that wasn't me. I'm like, well, actually, it was you, and yes, you may be a different person today, but that was you, sir. You can't deny that. So, look, a lot of revisionist history sometimes happens after these things.
What did you think of the commercials last night?
I thought some of them were great. I don't go on Twitter and diss things. A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I was not just scratching my head. I was like, really? When the truck commercial used Dr. King's speech? I just thought, you don't do that. But what I did like was at the very beginning, and you saw it throughout the telecast, there were a number of advertisers whose messaging spoke to, quote, the better nature of ourselves.
Yeah.
Reminded us that we as human beings have the capacity for greatness and goodness and kindness and positivity. And I think it was a direct response to the negativity of news coverage these days. And I, for one, was thrilled to see it.
Yeah, we need more of it, right? We need more of it, not less.
I think so, yeah. It made me feel good.
Inside Edition, now in its 97th year, and Deborah Norville is only 25. It's incredible. I don't know how the math works.
How does the math work? But it will work as long as the delightful people listening to your radio show also watch my television show. So to all of you delightful people, thank you for watching us on Channel 7.
Yeah, it's a great, great town for you. Chicago always has been. Great talking to you.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
See you, Deborah.
Deborah Norville from Inside Edition.
She's great.
She's delightful. We keep getting these texts from people. I mean, the texter question of the day. By the way, Sandra, can you give me a price on my new outfit, the Justin Timberlake outfit?
Well, Stella McCartney. Now, I don't know if it's going to be Stella McCartney for Target, you know, and be a price down. But
I'm
going to
need a double X.
Yeah, I'm going to say $368 on those jogger camo things.
Okay.
Hey, Joe, producer Joe, mm-hmm. has an interesting random fact anniversary thing that you should share. He should share with you right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's go live to Joe. Joe Romano. Yes, Joe.
Hey, I started out as an intern 6 years ago today, mm-hmm. the day after the Super Bowl.
At mm-hmm. WGN.
At mm-hmm. WGN Radio. Mm-hmm. And Deborah Norville was a guest on the show I was an intern for.
Now, the party's leaving out is the incredible passionate affair that he and Deborah Norville had within 6 months of that first encounter. And it didn't work out in the long term, I guess, huh, Joe?
Yeah, no comment.
Yeah, I understand. Yet the paparazzi keeps asking. Well, happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks, pal.
Happy anniversary, Joe.
Gracias.
I like when Joe calls me pal. It's like a little pat on the head.
I like when he calls you buddy, but he gently reminds you to do things.
There you go, little
like,
pal.
Turn
little
it down.
Buddy.
Turn it down, buddy.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
All right, so you give me a cost on a complete outfit.
Yes.
So
yes.
Is it pants, jacket, shirt, and handkerchief thing you touched on?
Yeah, okay. Bandana.
Yeah,
bandana.
I'm not sure if she actually did the bandana, but yes, it's pants, shirt. He had two jackets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a suit jacket, and then it was like a leather jacket thing. So
yeah.
I'll get the pieces for you.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be great, because I'm going to need to be wearing that around town. Texter is still chiming in on what'd you do for the Super Bowl if you didn't watch the Super Bowl. 815. I watched a show on aliens coming down to Earth on the History Channel.
See? Other people did other things.
312. I watched the Puppy Bowl, not the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but wasn't the Puppy Bowl on earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
so
the
you
DVR.
Could have watched both.
Apparently the Puppy Bowl was so disturbing that they couldn't go on after that.
Maybe.
847, I was painting my wife's toes pink.
Aww.
Sounds like foreplay.
Sweet.
You know, now that I think about it, nobody said they've been having sex. They were having sex. I mean, it's not going to take you the entire Super Bowl, but nobody said nobody's thrown that in yet. Maybe nobody did.
Yeah. It was dinner time.
Like after dinner.
A15
before.
A15, I was making a baby quilt and watching Minions. People that didn't watch the Super Bowl.
That's funny.
A15 cooked and cleaned and only watched JT, and I loved it. Mm. A15, my 15-year-old had a hockey game. Who schedules a kid hockey game on Super Bowl night?
Boy, no kidding.
A former coach.
Yeah, probably.
Right. When you can get ice time. That's what always matters with hockey, right?
I suppose. 708, watch the clock, wondering when the whole thing would end, so This Is Us could start.
Mm.
Now, what can I say about this? I can say what we know, right? That there's a fire.
Right.
Oh, I didn't watch it, so I don't want to know, but
well,
I don't
know. The fire
you know
was
what?
Last week.
And they've been running the promos.
Right.
There was a fire.
We know, but I can't watch it till today because I had to go to bed. So
Milo,
you don't want to be depressed
Milo
till tonight?
Milo Ventimiglia wakes up and there's smoke like coming in the bedroom. But you know how you wake up and you don't know what's going on?
Right.
And he goes and he opens the door and the entire house is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And things go poorly from there.
Yeah. But this is not giving anything away. I guess this morning he was saying his character is still going to be on the show. You know, it's not like this is...
Well, the whole show is flashback based.
Yeah. So, he reassured everybody this morning that he is still going to be a major part of the show.
Are the crockpot people suing him yet?
I don't know. The crockpot people were mad.
Yeah, well, it should be. The crockpot started the fire.
Allegedly.
So. Remember that the Billy Joel song? The crock pot started the fire. I think I just wrote that. Speaking of that, really poor, goofy music. Not poor, but goofy music. John DeCoste will be on tomorrow.
Oh, good. Yes.
And tomorrow we will discuss the John DeCoste's Valentine's Day song contest.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. The one that he was hoping I would forget.
Are we going to start or maybe I shouldn't say this, playing the new John DeCoste game? I know we play match game usually, but...
We're working on, you know, HQ Trivia?
Yeah.
We're working on something that's completely different.
Yeah.
It's called JD Trivia.
Yes.
It's trivia questions from John DeCoste that are multiple choice answers. Mm-hmm. That you can potentially win prizes with. Nothing like HQ Trivia.
Well, I hope it works better than HQ Trivia's halftime
so that quiz crashed. Last night.
Well, as far as best I could tell, they had over 2 million people logged in to play.
So yeah, they're
and it kept freezing, and just judging from the aftermath on Twitter, people were not happy. Because they were giving away $20,000 was the big prize, which gets split by however many winners there are, you know. But still, if that was the selling point, that was the bait, and they got their biggest crowd ever, I guess, 2 million, and they couldn't quite handle it.
Hey, Ellen gave away $1 million, Friday.
Yeah.
Ellen's a big giveaway. And when I say Ellen gave away $1 million, I mean Cheerios, right. General Mills.
Shutterfly.
Gave away $1 million. Apparently, they had a box of cereal under every seat.
Oh, did they?
And they had $2,500 in cash in every box.
Oh, my God.
So there's 400 people in the audience. It's $1 million.
It's a way to get
it's not bad. You go to Ellen's show, you got $2,500 in cash.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
309 texter, Boston Cheaters versus the Philadelphia Boo Birds. Who cares? Went to a Super Bowl party for the first half. Great party, but nobody watched the game. Most of us left after the Timberlake fiasco.
My people. No, he was good.
Justin. Ratings for under 30 should be revealing. Was a happy human. A15, watch the end of the Waste Management Tournament, which is great. Then played indoor sim golf. Well, it's hard for me to argue with that play.
Right.
A15, my husband and I watched the Snapped Marathon on Oxygen. Apparently, they wanted me to make sure I got it.
I was going to say, okay.
224, watch the Air Disasters Marathon. Amazing. The smallest thing can knock a plane out of the sky.
Oh, jeez. I don't know if it's good or bad.
847, old NCIS shows and golf on commercials, but glad Philly won. 773, went to a class at Second City, then to work for Uber. 773, I watched a Monk binge-a-thon. Remember the old show, Monk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 224, I watched ER on... You people are watching too much TV.
I know.
224, I watched ER on Hulu, and then watched the halftime show. 309, went to a Super Bowl party, didn't watch the game, just hung out with the wives. Had fun with the wives club.
Oh, with the wives.
847, went to the Sunday evening worship service. And stayed for the fellowship afterglow. When we got home, there were 3 minutes left in the game. 847, went to a great play at the Raven Theater and out to dinner. 847, Steve, please keep a record of all these commies that didn't watch the Super Bowl. Thanks, your friend Donald Trump. Okay, I got it. All right, totally got
That's
it.
Funny.
Totally got it. 9:32, we are back with Andrea in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeehaw!
Let's go back to Orion Samuelson. I assume you watched the game.
Well, I did, but didn't get to see the top of it because of the traffic following the Phoenix Open. It was unbelievable. The motor traffic here in the Scottsdale area. I watched the entire game.
I have All pushed for
half-time.
You.
I did not watch halftime.
I have pushed for you to have your own motorcade for a very long time now. When is that going to happen?
Well, it's going to be a while because I am trying to get a 1949 Chrysler to drive because that's what I drove from Green Bay to Chicago in 1960 when I took my job at WGN Radio.
I wonder what that would cost now. Like back when it was sold as a new car, it was probably what, $2,500 maybe less?
Yeah, about that much. It was a navy blue four-door and had a lot of bells and whistles for cars at that
Probably cost
time.
You 30 grand now. 40 grand, 50 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. It would.
Crazy.
Anyway, surprised but pleased with the outcome of the Super Bowl and I was pulling for Phil, of course, in the Phoenix Open, but he did pretty well for a 47-year-old.
See, I missed the end of it because I did. But what happened to Phil? Phil finished third, fourth, fifth?
I think he came in fifth. Yeah, he had a couple of bad shots in the last two holes, and I think he came in about fifth. He was still smiling. That's the thing I like about him.
Sure.
He's always smiling.
Sure.
He had a little pitch to the green that he kind of chunked.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right.
And it went halfway up. Yeah.
It went just halfway up this little bank to get to. It did not get to the
green. He doesn't miss short game shots. What happened?
That no one knew. No one could figure it out.
Yeah, they talked about it a lot. But, you know, his putter was so good the day before and then turned sour yesterday.
Well, that ain't right. All right. So what is your go-to snack or food, Orion, on Super Bowl Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday, we enjoyed popcorn. And
popcorn?
Different kinds of popcorn, yeah. The sweet and the regular and the cheesy and
let
all
me go,
that.
Let me go to the staff here. Wouldn't you expect Orion would say like a huge pile of bacon or you know, a rack of ribs or something like that? He's eating popcorn.
Well, he said snack, though.
Well, during the game, yeah. We ate differently when the game was over.
Yeah, that's right, because the game's over with a time zone. The game's over for West Coast time. What, at 1 in the afternoon or something?
No, not quite that. No, it would be, well, Chicago time, it would be an hour later. So I wasn't watching the clock or the watch, so yeah. I don't know.
Well, if the game ends at 10 o'clock here, it's got to be, aren't you West Coast time now? So you'd be 7 o'clock, or it's 8 o'clock.
No, we're on Denver time.
Oh, you're Denver, so it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So that's
it's still more reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may do the show from Orion's house going forward in Phoenix. It's better
for me. Well, we will invite you. You're always welcome.
It's a beautiful house.
Just remember what time it starts then.
Right.
That's a good point. It's early.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always something.
Yeah, you finish lunch and you turn it on.
Yeah, it's always something.
Didn't we try that once before? Went down, saw Orion, wished him happy birthday, and then we went to the wrong location for the show?
Yeah.
You guys did.
Well, some of you did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was GPS as well.
And we were afraid to call Gloria because we knew she'd be mad at us.
And the thing we always remember from that birthday dinner that so many of you came out for is the fact that it all ended up in our master bedroom watching the NCAA.
Yeah.
Yes, Final Four.
Yep. All
and that was the only place we could get a television screen big enough. And so we're all sitting on the bed watching the Final Four.
I remember that.
All right. So let's talk a little ag here. The ag secretary, Sonny Perdue, you've said before you approve of what he's doing and where he's going. Is there any governmental stuff developing agriculturally this early, or I should say late winter, early spring, we should be aware of?
They're continuing to work on the farm bill because we have to have one finished by the end of the year, and I forget now how many farm bills writings I've covered over the years, but one thing they all have in common, they never get finished on time. And the scary thing about that, if we go beyond the border of the current farm bill, then any future activity in agricultural policy goes back to the farm bill of 1948. And we have to play by the rules in 1948, even though we're in a new century. And so that's one of the dangers of it. One of the things that happened, though, that made quite a few agricultural people happy over the weekend, that was Friday when the Washington Post reported that Humane Society of the United States CEO Wayne Pacelli has resigned after being credibly accused of sexual harassment by three women.
Wow.
And so he, in an interview about 8 or 10 years ago, you know, they show the pets and the dogs and the cats being mistreated on the television commercials. But 1% of the money that people give to the Humane Society of the United States ends up helping local pet shelters. And the rest of it goes to paying legal fees and everything else, because he told me about 8 or 10 years ago that his main goal was to eliminate animal agriculture in the United States.
What?
which, you know, is crazy. But he said, we've got to stop this cruelty to animals. And so I've been in opposition of him ever since that time. And then when you take a look at some of the news that is coming out now on where the money went, the Humane Society paid $11 million in 2014 to settle a racketeering lawsuit after the organization was caught paying a witness who lied under oath.
Doesn't sound like a lot of animal saving going on.
No, it really doesn't. And so they ran a commercial in the Super Bowl yesterday in some markets. I didn't see it here, but they ran a commercial. The opposition did. Against Humane Society, saying give locally, not nationally, on this program, because your funds go not very much to actually helping abused animals. So,
yeah.
And the thing is, they filed lawsuits against cattle producers and pork producers, and you know, kept spending a lot of legal money and bringing those organizations into court time and again to stop what they were doing in funding promotion of pork and beef and that type of thing. So I don't think the agricultural animal group here in the United States is shedding any tears this morning for Wayne Pacelli of Humane Society.
Yeah, it sounds like karma caught up with him. We have a question here. Please ask Orion what a lean hog is. I thought hogs were supposed to be big, fat, and juicy.
They used to be, and that all changed probably 30 or 40 years ago because of the movement against fat of any kind in your diet. And so farmers changed their feeding rations and changed the time of raising. It now takes about 6 months from the time a litter of pigs arrives until they move into the processing facility. So lean hogs is a term that we came up with for the futures in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and just called them lean hog futures when fat was no longer a desirable part of the pork.
You know, the ASPCA and the Human Society of U.S. Animal Protection, whatever that organization is, those are two separate deals. But to get back to the original point you were making, that guy who told you he wants to eliminate animal agriculture, I don't understand. Look, I never tell people don't be a vegetarian. I never tell people don't be a vegan. No. So, you know, get off my plate when I'm having a steak, because...
Well, it would probably mean that you and I would be eating grass,
right?
Because beef particularly takes grass, turns it into a very tasty meat on the diet. And, you know, if you were to eliminate animal agriculture, then you'd have to eliminate corn producers and soybean producers, all the people who produce the feed that goes into making milk and pork and beef. So it just was a ridiculous statement on his part.
Well, it is ridiculous. And I would also say this. You want to save as many animals as possible? You eliminate animal agriculture and everybody's a vegetarian or a vegan. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many animals you're going to have to kill? Because we wouldn't be able to support them, be able to feed them. You'd have to just slaughter animals around the globe.
Very true.
Ugh, that's kind of nonsense.
Hey, Warren, I have a bacon question for you.
Yeah.
When it comes to buying bacon, does it matter if it's generic or not? There's so many bacon products out there. Oscar Mayer, Kirkland. What does it matter?
Does what matter?
The product of bacon that you get.
Yes.
Does it matter if it's generic?
Generic.
Yeah, you know, like the Kirkland, or if you get it from Costco.
Oh, I see. Plain label stuff?
Yeah, just the plain label stuff, as opposed to getting it from... Because I actually bought
bacon.
Isn't
that a marketing thing? Oh, you told me.
Yeah, it is a marketing thing.
Because it comes out of the same factory,
right.
I think.
Yeah, yeah. That is marketing.
Okay.
And we have to look at marketing, because now you have nearly every food product labeled gluten-free. Well, so many products never had gluten, but they just think the term is so popular with shoppers that they tack it on. As a matter of fact, I found a bottle of gluten-free orange juice in a store, and then never been gluten in orange juice.
That's funny.
It's just, and of course, GMO free. As I've often said, if you eat, you die. If you don't eat, you die.
So yeah, so
I'm
pick one.
Enjoy eating.
Right.
It's like my old friend, the late John Bennett, great comedian, said, I don't know what this gluten is, but apparently it's the stuff that makes food taste good. Because if there's no gluten in it, it tastes like a shoe.
Yep.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you, and have a good week.
That's Orion Samuelson.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here. Your favorite Super Bowl commercial, your favorite, least favorite Super Bowl commercial, a complete breakdown of the game from Wendy. That's all coming up.
It is. I'm ready. I took notes, man. Come on.
So, yeah. Did you enjoy the game, Bill?
I enjoyed the game very much. It was, I think, probably the most exciting Super Bowl in history, wasn't it?
It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Really exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Start to finish. No downtime.
Yeah, top three.
Yeah.
Yeah, top three.
I liked it.
Yeah. That whole Bears-Patriots thing in 85 was really nip and tuck.
Yeah, that was a close game.
That was my
game.
Second favorite.
Yeah.
Patriots scored first in that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then never again, right? Was that it?
No, they got a field goal.
Did they? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was 46-10.
Oh.
Could have been changed at any time.
Oh. Yeah.
So, hey, you guys have fun, huh?
Thank you, Steve.
We have to leave now. Bye-bye.
All right.